small phone. Don't need no speedy car to get me home. Don't need no nothing, all I need is time for the simple life. Ooh, go get your butt off of that lazy couch. Put down a laptop and get out of that house. Don't need no nothing, all I need is time for the simple life. I got a brand new scratch on my...
Welcome to this hour of focus on the real life experiences and perspectives from the folks on the Central Coast of California. I am your host for this hour. My name is Cynthia Fernandez, and this is Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. The show was born from the love of story, storytelling, and a desire for a deeper connection between all living things, one person at a time. Archives for this show are uploaded as podcasts and can be found at Simple Life Radio at podbean.com or YouTube, and it's just the channel Simple Life Radio as one word. You know, sometimes people ask me where I find guests for the radio show. And working at Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden with my husband Paul for at least the last dozen years or so, one of the perks of being there is meeting really cool people from all over the world. And sometimes our regular customers are actually living out of the area. And we develop relationships and sometimes friendships with those people that we routinely see in the store. Well, you know, we have had the pleasure of visiting celebrities from time to time. So there was my favorite, Leonardo DiCaprio, John Cleese, Michael Keaton. And for those old timers like me and Paul, Ann Mira and Jerry Stiller, I still remember their TV show, black and white TV at the time, Stiller and Mira. And that's just to name a few. So just to head you off at the pass, no, Clint Eastwood and Doris Day have not, as of yet, been in the store. But it's a really cool experience to meet a famous person, you know, someone that you've seen before on TV or in a movie, and it doesn't compare to meeting people who could really be described as unsung heroes. Because of what they do every day, despite the lack of money or other forms of recognition, you know, there really are unsung heroes, and that's what makes it really special for us. I bet you know a few people like that for yourself. Well, a few years back, I was working in the store, and this man came in. He was an older gentleman. He had white hair and a beard, and I think he had a straw hat, too. And he was sort of toting along this little luggage carrier behind him, and he had one of those plastic milk crates in it, and it had a basket, and that was filled with small abalone shells. And he came in to see if we wanted to buy any, you know, for the store. Well, I consider myself open-minded, but I'm also aware of where many of the shells come from that are mass-produced, and the practices are not what you would call earth-friendly. So I asked him, where did these shells come from? And this man told me very articulately that they came from an abalone farm in Moss Landing in a nearby town, and that he actually hand cleans every single one of these. And the colors are beautiful. There's greens and blues and sort of a red striping across the back of the shell. So I thought, gosh, I really like that. And he also explained that he was doing this to make his living. And that was the first time I met Abalone Joe. Ever since then, I've been curious about this guy, and I invited him on the show today. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to arrive. So you're going to have to hear it from me. And if we can reschedule with Abalone Joe, we certainly will. But this gentleman has been written up a couple of times in the last couple of years. There was a newspaper article, actually a blog, where Abalone Joe was encountered by a gentleman who was in the area here in Carmel visiting his grandfather. And this young man really was enamored with him because You know, you don't see someone like this every day going up and down the sidewalk with a carrier of abalone shells. And he stopped and asked him what he was up to. And Joe described having, traveled actually up and down the coast from San Diego up to like Half Moon Bay, Pacifica area, and just meeting people along the way and sort of peddling his shells for a living. And it was an interesting enough encounter for Joe to have this article written about him. So, I apologize for not having the man here himself, but I will tell you that there are a lot of good news stories out and about in our neighborhood, in our community, and we don't often hear about them enough. And I think Joe is one of those stories, because he is someone who has taken what would be considered a disadvantaged situation and really taking it on himself, to figure out a way. You figure out a way to make ends meet, and doing so very artistically. And sometimes he comes and he brings wind chimes that he's sort of created artfully with these abalone shells, but he always comes with a smile and very respectful and very patient and personable. And I've always respected him, for that. I do run across folks of all different walks of life in the store, and it's not always that way. So I love it to meet someone that has a situation that is really unfamiliar and very upbeat, I guess. So I wanted to take the opportunity to have you all to myself today and just share with you some stories that I have kind of pulled together to do that with. Because I don't think that we actually hear, like I say, good news stories often enough. And before I do that, I just want to kind of set the stage here. A lot of folks that I encounter from day to day, of course, have opinions, and we all have opinions. And the other night we were conversing with friends and, old fogies like Paul and I. And there was a comment made that young people today just, they're troubled by and large. They have a sense of entitlement. They, have a hard time getting a job or feeling that sense of accomplishment for themselves. And they end up not really contributing to society. And I let them know that, that's really not what I'm seeing. When I look in the news, that's not what I'm seeing. Of course, it does exist, but so many other things do too. So one of the articles that I pulled up here is, it's about a 16-year-old girl who has invented bioplastic from banana peels. And the article is by Amanda Froelich, and it's dated just September 12th of this year. Now, banana peels, we all have banana peels if we eat bananas, and they're certainly discarded quickly enough. But in order to reduce petroleum-based landfill and create bioplastic, this young girl, her name is Elif Bilgin. She's from Istanbul, Turkey. She was really curious, and she wanted to take a exhibit into the Science in Action Fair. She actually ended up winning that fair. That was just this year. And she addressed this issue of how to really take waste and turn it into something that is useful. So as a motivated and compassionate scientist, she mentions that Thailand discards 200 tons of banana peels every day, and that the starch and cellulose are so important for plastic production that they could be put to much better use as, just basically turning them into plastic. And so her research discovered that potatoes and mango peels are already commonly used. Therefore, in Turkey, she began experimenting with banana peels. And it took over a 2-year period. She had, you know, trials with banana peels many times, ending in disappointment. She had 10 failure experiments, but she was determined. And even quoted herself, you know, Thomas Edison, saying that he had not failed. He only found 10,000 ways that wouldn't work, right? So, you know, banana peels into bioplastic. I can't wait to find that in mass circulation. And it's just an example of how a young person who has a basic understanding, enough of an understanding of what we're all facing in this environmental time that we live in, with so many things impacting our environment, takes it upon herself or himself, I'm sure, to experiment, you know, take a curiosity and follow it through to the point of coming up with a new discovery. And have another example for you here. I love this. Streetlights powered by dog poop. So, you know, there's a lot of methane gas in waste. We'll call it waste. And Cambridge, Massachusetts, not that uncivilized of a location. They have started out with a dog park and recently installed by this conceptual artist, Matthew Mazzotta, a street light that is powered entirely by dog droppings. And it's called the Park Spark Project. And it works really simply. You just put, you know, the dog poop that you pick up and collect because you're a responsible pet owner into a large container right there in the dog park. And it's digested by bacteria, creating methane gas. And then it can be used to light the lamp. So these are called biogas digesters. And they're often used in landfills and for large amounts of cow manure. But it's unusual to see one in a small scale human area. So let's hope that this catches on, because we certainly have enough waste. It's about time we find something else to do with it. So, you know, I look at these things and find them really encouraging. One more thing that I want to share with you before we take a quick break here, and that is, you know, here in Monterey County, we have the luxury of natural environment, you know, beautiful open spaces. We really feel passionate about protecting those open spaces many times. And yet we are modern humans, and so we operate in cars and buses and motorcycles and whatnot. And along the roadside, I know in Carmel Valley and on maybe along Highway 1 sometimes, driving, you know, through the coast, there will be roadkill, animals who have inadvertently found themselves in harm's way. And there is a new idea actually in practice in Canada called an overpass that's been put in for animals to actually cross over the freeway. And you know, what a great idea. Just having something. This is Banff National Park. Of course, they're very committed to protecting their wild space there. And they put in the wildlife overpass so that the animals could continue through their natural, you know, trafficking. They migrate naturally, and that actually helps the environment because they're not stuck in one space and they don't therefore wear it out. But the highway, which stretches about 5,000 miles across the country, you know, across 10 provinces connecting the Atlantic and the Pacific coasts, it has Banff National Park right there. And so they got together and put together some somewhat controversial research to find a better way. And Montana State University was part of that research. They show 80 to 90% decrease in vehicle wildlife collisions in the areas that have these structures. And so that's considered a pretty successful response. So, you know, good news. We have good news around us. It's not all good news, but boy, it's so nice to find something that works and to share it with friends. I feel myself, maybe because I work in the bookstore, that that I get a lot of news. I mean, we get news around the entire world, and sometimes I just feel saturated with things to be afraid of, or things to be concerned about, or things to be confused by. And it's really, you know, I honestly think it's not really good for us as individuals, as humans. And so I'm glad to have this time with you. And after we take this break, we're going to come back and see what else we've got. All right, so stay with us. Simple Life here, KRXA 540 AM. And we're back in studio. This is Cynthia Fernandez, your host for this hour of Simple Life Radio, Stories for the Adventurous at Heart. And we're spending some time today with some stories that are encouraging. I want to invite callers, since I am alone in studio, if you want to give a call. Our number here is 831-899-5792 or 1-888-KRXA-540. So, you know, good news. I like good news. And it's kind of hard to find. I kind of mentioned that before the break, where, you know, we get sort of deluged with all kinds of news and supposed facts and figures from around the world. But good news is hard to find, and so I'm always on the lookout for it. One of the sections in the bookstore that that I focus on putting some of that good news, I'm a nonfiction reader most of the time, is our environmental section. And right now we just got a new delivery of books recently released that are all about how to live in small spaces, how to, you know, organize your things so that you actually have better efficiency and you need less things. Reminds me of one of my guests earlier, Jerry Maupin, who coined the phrase enoughism and had very similar sentiments about that, because, you know, he had started, like many professional men had, going through college, actually becoming a licensed attorney at law and working the whole gamut in Chicago, I think, you know, big city, and then realized that the big houses and the fancy cars and all that comes with it really didn't give him much freedom and enjoyment. He was too busy working to pay those bills. So he quit, moved out of that area into this area, and became a general contractor, something that he had been trained at early on, you know, while kind of going to school, growing up with a family member. And he takes off 4 months a year to rest and rejuvenate and just kind of enjoy his life. And I just applaud that. I mean, first of all, it takes a lot of courage to step out of, you know, the maze where we all sort of focus our attention doing what we are supposed to do Monday through Friday and fitting into society. However, you know, there's room for good ideas. There's really room for good ideas. One of the good ideas that I've run across that I sort of hit my forehead and go, gosh, why didn't we think of this earlier, has to do with alternative sources of energy, solar energy. Well, the sun thankfully comes up every day. And why not cover parking areas with solar panels to collect all that good energy and save the wear and tear on the cars? I think that's one of those good ideas. Another similar approach is covering, you know, any kind of aqueduct with solar panels, and maybe just periodically. I know I've seen this in practice, and I can't remember where at the moment, but if you think about it, you know, it's one of those multiple function results with a single action of investment. So I really applaud that. There's a number of alternative sources of energy, and I know that, you know, cost is still an issue now because everything new in technology tends to be a little more expensive than maybe things that have been around a while, and you know, that's difficult. We have thought about, Paul and I have thought about putting some kind of solar panels in at home, but as a result of renting and not really having a portable option really with those, we haven't been able to do that. So we haven't, but we are still applauding all of those in our area and elsewhere who have invested in an alternative source of energy, because we really do value our environment and we don't want to trash our planet in any way. Clean energy is cool. So here's another, just a little quick blurb about thinking out of the box, some alternative ideas. Might even inspire you to find your own alternative idea. There's a young woman who is a potter, you know, someone who throws clay or molds clay, and she is using her car for the potting wheel. She has her car up on a jack. She has the side of the tire, you know, the rim, which is still installed in the car, set up as her potting wheel. And yes, she is potting on a horizontal, not a vertical basis. So the really cool thing is that, you know, potting clay, working with clay, can be very messy. And with this kind of a potting wheel, your car is going to be outdoors. So all of that mess just goes right back to nature, right where it came from. And I just think that's really cool. Let's see. If you want to give a call, our number is 899-5792. And the 800 number would be 1-888-KRXA-540. I will have time for calls today. So come on, somebody give me a call if you want to say hello. Let me know what kind of good news stories you prefer, or maybe something that you can share. And we will just wrap our minds around that. Alternative thinking, out of the box, something that really has you feeling encouraged rather than discouraged or concerned. That's what we're looking for. And we do have a caller here. Let me see if I can figure this out. Caller, you're on the air. This is Cynthia. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Paula.
Paula. Hi, Paula.
Yeah, and I'm really enjoying your show.
Great, thanks. You have a good news story for us, or?
I have an idea for you.
Yay.
What if they had a news program that was simply called Good News?
Wouldn't that be a nice change?
Yeah, just a little program that if everything on it is literally good news.
I like the idea. Is that something that you've heard before, or is this a brand new idea?
No, I just thought of it. I have all these ideas that just come to me, and this is one of them.
I like it. Don't you think we should give it equal time?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen at equal time, but it would certainly be a novelty and something that people could balance out all the bad that's happening in the world, you know, kind of a nice little shot in the arm.
I totally agree. I do, too. And don't you notice when you hear good news, you actually feel better?
Yes, absolutely, because with everything, all the shootings and the horrible things going on, it's just pretty overwhelming.
Absolutely. Well,
I love your store, by
the way. Thank you. Thank you very much. If you're in today, Paul's by himself, say hello for me.
I will. Thank you.
All right, Paula, thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. It's a beautiful day out there. A little rain on us, so it was a good day.
Nice and fresh, huh? Who's this?
My name is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for calling in.
Sure. I wanted to share a story.
Please.
Well, just actually, it's not a story. It's just a true fact that you were talking about having solar panels installed over parking lots.
Yeah.
And there's already been one done in the city of Salinas at the Department of Education on Blanco.
Isn't that appropriate?
Yeah. They did it about a year ago, and I'm a provider of cement, so I thought it was really interesting and cool, and it, like you said, it saves the car from getting beat up by the sun, and yet stores all that energy.
Absolutely. Don't you think we could just maybe a little bit at a time continue to put those in all around town?
Well, yeah, that, and there's so many other ideas, but solar is a good thing, and anything to get rid of these fossil fuel usage, and just to use common sense, keeping Earth as long as we can healthy.
Absolutely. And not only that, I'm in favor of protecting the Earth. But Jeff, I don't know if you feel this way, too. I feel good about doing things that really consider all life, not just what I get out of it. You know, it feels good to have something that is more in harmony with.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I agree totally. Yeah. Any living thing is a good thing. In fact, I was out there in the marina watching the whales. My neighbor called me. Hey, come out here. There was just tons of them just spouting off. It was so beautiful.
Oh, was that recently?
Really cool. Just today, this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
He always says, there's always whales out there. I always see them. And I said, I never see them. And so he called me and said, come out. And sure enough, there was a ton of them.
You know, I was out there at Marina Beach. I'm not sure what you're supposed to call it, but it's on the, it's on the beach side nearest the water, and it's in Marina. And we have a monthly tracking group that get together and go out sort of looking at animal signs, and we try to really increase our awareness and pay attention to what's going on. And we were on top of the dunes there in Marina, and there were pods of dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see any of those today?
We saw a couple, but yesterday I was out there around 7, and there was a few pods, and actually one got out of the air, and it was cool. So.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, thanks for your call, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for your show and everything you do. I didn't know you were all environmental like that. You're nice soul, I could tell.
Well, thank you very much. I guess this is my opportunity to come out of the closet about that.
Well, that's a good reason.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. You take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. Well, thanks for calling in, everybody. That was awesome. And, I must admit, it's very nice for me to meet souls out there who are also really aware and environmentally in tune. And it makes for good conversation, too. So if you have any other calls or ideas you want to call in, rather, stories, good news stories, as Paula was saying, I really like that idea. Give a call in, and we will put our heads together and get it out to the listening audience. So speaking of good news stories, that was a great inspiration, Paula. I wonder, for myself, where to find such good news stories. And that leads me to another commentary. I hope this is not too much to share, but I get depressed. Actually, depressed is too strong a word. I get disheartened listening to mass media news. And I grew up with TV. So I'm familiar with ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN. There's a lot of varieties of news available for all of us, and certainly we have a choice about what we listen to. And it's always a curious thing to me when I change the channel. Let's say I'm in the car and I change from one station to the next, and I'm pretty much hearing the same news, and it's usually something that has nothing to do with local. That's the other kicker. There's news from Syria on an hourly basis, and other places where there is conflict, but not a lot of local news. And that's what I really take my hat off to this station for, because the basis of KRXA here in the Monterey Peninsula is to connect locals to locals. And when Paul and I made the huge leap of decision to advertise our bookstore and garden shop on KRXA, that was really what convinced us that we needed to give it a try. And we were surprised, pleasantly surprised, at how much of an impact that made. And I remember, if any of you recall Deborah Lindsay, when she was here a few years back, she had a show called Tomorrow Matters, and it was a very environmentally focused radio show. She did a great job. I really miss her. But we had storms a few years back, and all of those syndicated news shows were knocked out. And Deborah was in here in the studio, probably in the dark, I don't know. And she was taking calls from people who needed information about other locations, what roads were closed, trees covering roads. I remember there was a woman who called in and she couldn't get her prescription filled. She needed medication. And someone else called in and offered to, you know, run it out to her. And it was just such a huge feeling of community connection. And I just thought, God, I'm so glad that I live here and that this is happening. So maybe, Paul, you've got a little pebble rolling. We might be able to increase that to a boulder size working together, where we actually have good news. We could have local news. And getting back to my confessions, you know, I realize it's not always accurate, sometimes very misleading, but I use Facebook for news. And one of the reasons I do that is that the censorship isn't there. And I don't know that there's censorship in all of the other mass media options, but it certainly feels to me, seems to me like it could have censorship since they all use the same stories. And I like fresh and new and clean, and I like to make my own choices about that. And also like good news, and I never hear good news on mass media news channels. I shouldn't say never, there's no such thing as never, but certainly not as often as I would like. So yeah, if you want to give a call, I'm going to go to break now, and when we come back, if we have any callers, we will share some more ideas for thinking out of the box, taking care of Mother Earth in a more creative way, and definitely good news. Oh, got a caller now. Let's see who we have. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Thank you for taking my call, Cynthia. I am Martoma II, and I have a good news story.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay. Local man builds electric bicycle in which there are two battery banks and a generator, and the charged bank feeds into the second bank of batteries, and they switch back and forth, if you understand. I mean, it has pedals, and it's like the old-fashioned bike light generator.
All right.
And it's not perpetual, but it'd be a prototype for something larger.
Do you know this local man?
Oh, yes, it's me, and it's all in my imagination, but I really do want to try to do it.
Well, you might want to hook up with someone who has a bike shop.
You know, I will.
Yeah, very good. Thanks for sharing that great idea.
Oh, and you've got so much potential with your program. It, you know, it will get more and more.
Well, thank you. Have you been listening for a while?
Oh, just whenever I can.
Well, Saturday afternoon is kind of like that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for your call.
Thanks for taking it. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that is a good idea. I don't know how heavy those battery packs would be, but then again, I'm not very well versed in battery packs, and I do have a cell phone, and I know my cell phone has a battery pack somewhere in there because it holds a charge for about a day. That's because it's so smart, it can't hold a charge any longer. So that's a great idea. I just love the response from the community here. And we're going to take a break. Stay with us. This is Simple Life, Stories for the Adventurous at Heart, KRXA 540 AM. And I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez. Stay with us. And we're back. Thanks for hanging in with us after that You know, during that break, I realized it's tempting to push that little button to somewhere else. At least it is for me. This is Cynthia Fernandez. You're listening to Simple Life Radio, Stories for the Adventurous at Heart. We've had some great calls this hour from people who, like me, are interested in good news, something upbeat, something purposeful, something practical, something that's going to be creating more harmony. We don't need more conflict. We got plenty of that. And it actually starts with people. Listen, everyone's got a vested interest in being here, and we're all here. Let's make the best of it. So, it's up to us. We're the geniuses. We're the peacekeepers of our own sphere of influence. And when we want that, it really goes a long way. So I'm not saying we can change the world in a day, although, anything's possible. I just believe that life is way more interesting with a little curiosity and a little tenaciousness and given some good education, some good motivation. Really creative things happen, and that's when life gets juicy. So if you do have a moment and you have a good idea or something you'd like to share, a story that is, educational and hopefully in the area, but we won't limit it to that because we all live here on planet Earth, and one way or the other, we're all connected. So call in. We have time. The number here, 831-899-5792, or if you're out of the area and you want to use an 800 number, that number would be 1-888-KRXA-540. So one of the people that I really sort of feel aligned with, I enjoy, is Alan Watts. And when he was really popular, I was thankfully very young. So, it's a new discovery for me. But here's a quote for you from Alan Watts. If you say that money is the most important thing, you'll spend your life completely wasting your time. You'll be doing things you don't like doing in order to go on living. That is, in order to go on doing things that you don't like doing. Alan Watts. If you come into the bookstore, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, we are located in downtown Carmel between 5th and 6th on Dolores. You will find Alan Watts on the shelf. A lot of people don't realize because the store's been there so long, I guess it's in its 45th year, and it started out a specialty store back in 69, that a lot of people don't know that it's actually a general trade store now. When Thunderbird closed, I guess they'd been there about 40 years in the barnyard, when they finally closed and May Walthrop left, regrettably, we realized, being the last store in the area, that we really needed to change our selection. And we made a commitment to be there for community. We actually changed our name to Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore for that reason. And we got in a whole selection of New York Times bestsellers, hardcover, new releases. We expanded children's. Well, actually, I think that was because of my granddaughter, Bella. But we do have an expanded children's section. We have a pretty large young adult and paperback novel section. And then, keeping a selection available for whoever wanders in, because Carmel is visited by a lot of folks. We have all the major religions collapsed into a section called World Religions, and that, rightly or wrongly, is where Alan lives. Alan Watts would be on that shelf. So come on in, say hello to Paul or myself. We have some other folks helping us part-time, and we'll do our best to take care of you. And keep in mind that when Paul and I make book selections, new title selections, which happens a couple times a year, and it's just happened recently, so all these new books are flooding into the store. We use this kind of criteria, if you will, to make those choices. We look for innovative ideas. We look for creative, functional. We have a new science section that includes things like Tesla and Sheldrake and a lot of folks that are cutting edge for their area. So if you want a tour, we'd be happy to show you our favorite books. We love doing that. And, you know, I'm remembering Jeff's comment about, gosh, you know, I didn't know that you really were into this. That is really encouraging, Jeff. I want to thank you for that because we are very into it. In fact, I want to take this opportunity to let folks know there is something going on that is good news and local. And that is a free event that we've been hosting at Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden for about the last almost 4 years now. And that's called the Monterey Bay Tracking Club. And what that is a bunch of individuals on a drop-in basis. We get together the first Sunday morning of each month, and it's early, 8 a.m. And we meet in Marina at the Ord Market parking lot. And then from there, we go to a local place where we look for animal tracks. I'll just say it. That's what we do. We look for animal tracks. We look for tracks. We look for sign. Sign includes any kind of animal scratchings on plant, you know, tree trunks, nibbles on bushes and shrubs, any kind of sign at all. And we put together, as best we can, a story. You know, we put together like the what happened here. I guess it's similar to forensics in a way, because you don't have anything except whatever's left. You don't know what happened. There's no way to know what happened. And it's so fun. I don't know if you've ever done it. It's not like hiking. There's no fast movement. And you can bring a backpack if you want. But really, it's simple. It's very simple. It is the way our ancestors lived, no matter where they were from, around any part of the globe. Years ago, that's how you survived, is to be able to track what's happening around you and to have your awareness be, on. And I find that when I go tracking, so we meet at 8 o'clock in the morning. Paul and I usually cut out about 10 because we open the store at 11. We have to change, whatever. So between 8 and 10 in the morning, there's not a lot of time to invest, especially if you're doing it monthly in this kind of a practice. But what I notice is that I leave there feeling relaxed and alert at the same time. I notice that my perspective about my day, my life, whatever, my surroundings is really upbeat. And, it lasts a long time. So I've told people before, I take this kind of awareness into the store. I mean, I work with the public, so I never know who's coming in and what's going to happen. But not like a survivalist kind of response, but I take it into the store and I feel like I am able to assess situations very quickly, because tracking, after all, is an art of finding a pattern and following that pattern. Literally, people who've had kids who are having a hard time reading in school have enrolled them in tracking programs during the summer that might meet maybe, a couple of days a week, whatever, for a three-month period. And they work with these kids of all ages. And kids actually literally don't do any reading during the summer. They do this tracking. They go back to school, new school year, and their reading is incredibly improved. Because reading is really just the art of following a pattern. And as I said, it's kind of in our DNA, if you will, to be able to do that. That's how we got our, that's how we got here. So for those of you who want to try this or want to ask Paul and I about it, please do. Our next tracking club is the 5th of October, as that is the first Sunday of the next month. And if you go to our Facebook page, we have a Pilgrim's Way Facebook page. You don't have to be a Facebook user to check out our Facebook page. You will see the event listed there. And And as well, Monterey Bay Tracking Club has its own Facebook page, and there is a map. There's information listed. You'll see pictures. There's actually Paul and I on the cover picture. We have a great time. So no big deal. Come on out. Give it a try. Ask us about it, whatever you like. In terms of other events that we're doing, I want to make sure everybody knows about this next one. Nancy Mellon is going to be doing an event at the bookstore, actually in the Secret Garden, on Sunday, September 29th. It's going to be beginning at 5 p.m. It'll run 5 to 7, and it is a donation basis. And I see we have a caller, so we're going to take that caller. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Judith.
Hi, Judith.
Hey. It's so good. I've been listening to your show, and... Oh, I should turn the radio. Good news. Oh, my gosh. I was glad to hear you mention Sheldrake, and I wondered if you guys carry Bruce Lipton.
We do indeed. In fact, he has a brand new book. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah. The Honeymoon Effect?
Yes.
Or something else? Oh,
no, Honeymoon
video.
Effect.
I think
that
was a DVD.
Well, it's we have the hardcover book, so it's probably also DVD. You know, a lot of the artists and authors out there are putting them into spoken audio, DVD, whatever, to make them more available for people. So is he one of your
wonderful.
Is he one of your favorite authors?
Well, no, I've just seen his DVDs, and I think he's getting more popular, and I think he could be a helpful antidote to scientists who are trying to keep spirit out of science.
He does. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're right. He takes a very objective, very balanced view, I think, and follows through the science aspect. The other one that you, if you haven't read this, any of her work, Lynn McTaggart had a great book. She's a layperson, and she just
is. That's familiar.
She's really tenacious. It's called The Field, is the title of her book, and yeah, her last name is Lynn McTaggart. And what she did is she traveled the world and tried to understand for herself, interviewing scientists and physicists, she tried to understand how energy works. And you know, what is it that connects things? And she just, it was like dropping down the rabbit hole. You know, the more she asked, the more she found out. And she was really stunned that there was no book out there in layman's terms to explain this. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, she's a great writer. I really enjoyed that book.
Okay.
Yeah.
You probably don't have much time, but I have a personal, really good, quick story maybe.
Go for it. Yeah, let's
do it. My daughter is... 29, but she planned this wedding a year and a half ago. She'd been to South Africa twice before, and she kind of found herself there. You know, it really changed her, and then she spent a university. Anyway, she's getting ready to go to Botswana for their honeymoon. I couldn't travel down there, but
wow.
Anyway, she's so excited to see the wild dogs.
Thank you so much,
but
Judith.
Anyway,
I'm going to have
a lot going on for conservation.
All right. We'll talk to you later. And for those of you, thanks for calling.